position. Peter Wolf is my guest tonight. And I'm very lucky to be in a position where we can just relax. It's a Sunday night. We're coming off a foggy, rainy weekend. And we can just spend some time talking and playing music and getting deep into the life of Peter Wolf.
I called my sister. I said, you know, you get it out there. She's out in New Jersey. This is the one that, you know, my sister who danced.
What's her name?
Nancy.
Nancy.
She danced on the Alan Freed show. And she said, Pete, you got to listen to his questions because you're sure taking a long way around.
That's funny. Well, actually, the question was, is it safe to say this is your most autobiographical album? And what I was going to lead up to there, and that was about 15 minutes ago, that question. We should have her come in here, Nancy, just like sit and be the editor or something. Not only lyrically is this album very kind of intimate and revealing and honest and upfront, and in the case of that one song, very specific about that life in Boston, but also musically, you're combining on this album all of these different influences that you've talked about. There's blues in the album. There's folk in the album. There's soul in the album. There's rock and roll in the album. There's sometimes even a jazzier feel in the album. And I think that's part of the autobiographical aspect of this recording as well, is that you're pulling all your influences together in a very neat and wonderful way here.
Well, I was fortunate to have some really good collaborators working songwriting-wise, and also a gentleman by the name of Kenny White who produced the thing with me, you know, the album. And Kenny had worked up in Boston for a long time, and he's a really interesting songwriter in his own right. And we got together one day, and we just really focused in on the songs. And once we established that we had a nice, good batch, the next thing was really finding some really good musicians and doing what they did in Muscle Shoals and a lot of the early Otis Redding records and a lot of the great records that we all grew up with, being the Sun Records, which was a small studio, a certain set of players, all the Elvis Presley records and Carl Perkins records. They were all done in a small, same room, same players.
Sometimes with just one microphone.
Right.
You know, and everybody around that microphone.
Right. And true with Muddy Waters in the sense that, you know, up in Chess, you know, they used sort of the same kind of house band, be it Otis band on piano for a lot of different things with Muddy or with Lil Walter. And Motown, same thing. It was like small studio, a lot of the same players. So I tried to find a studio here in New York where we cut at Sear Sound that had a lot of the old vintage equipment where we can have a real intimate feel, use some players that we could really sort of dive into the song and they can also contribute to the song.
Did you record analog?
We recorded analog.
So direct to tape then? You didn't?
No, we recorded with analog equipment, it eventually got direct to tape.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a digital recording, though.
Well, it became digital,
yeah,
but it was all analog as it went along.
Yeah.
So I felt that the collection of collaborators that I had really helped also keep me on course.
Let's get back to Van Morrison. I never knew that Van even lived in Boston.
Yeah, he after doing Brown Eyed Girl, he got this disillusion. He came over to work with Burt Burns, who...
Bang Records.
Right. And wrote Here Comes the Night and A Little Piece of My Heart with Jerry Ragavoy. Right. And Burt brought Van over, and Van sort of got very disillusioned with the whole music scene. And there was this thing called Bosstown Sound, which was this... created
the ultimate spinach.
Yeah. Right?
The Beacon Street Union or something like
there
that.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
The lead singer of that, a fellow by the name of John Lincoln Wright, has become a really great country singer, still playing up in Boston. And so this was at the period when the Grateful Dead was happening in San Francisco and Janis Joplin and Aeroplane. And so these people got together and created this thing. It was a PR gimmick, the Bosstown Sound. So Van was very much into jazz, and a lot of the great jazz people at that time, Coltrane and Elvin Jones and Miles, and people using Boston as a place to sort of, in the way that Broadway would take plays up to Boston and New Haven to try out, and it was a way of getting your act together as a musician. Mm-hmm. So a lot of great musicians were up there at the time. So Van came up, and I had a radio show at that time, and it was the Wolf of Goof and Mama Tufa show.
Say it again, please.
It was the Wolf of Goof and Mama Tufa show. Welcome, you little ladies of the night, kid from Alabama, keeping all hit, all the ships at sea, doing a tune, getting right through, and giving us some fun. We're going to have some fun until the sun. This is Mama Gama Guma Luma Luma, Wolf of Goof and Mama Tufa.
Was that on VCN?
Yeah, that was on VCN. And Van heard the show, and we were doing this gig one day, and I was a great fan of Van's, and because I was a big fan of them, and Mystic Eyes, and Gloria, and... I had this band called Hallucinations, and Van, we were playing together, and Van said, hey, man, you know, what about this great, you know, funky old black guy that's on late at night playing all that blues stuff?
And, the Woofa Goofa Moofa.
He said, something. I said, yeah, he's really great. And one day Van came up, and there I was, and I would interview him, and he would come up all the time and hang up at the station, and he was living in Boston. He and a lady, but Janet Planet was his wife at the time.
Right.
And they lived in a one room. They had a mattress on the floor, no telephone, no money. And he would come over to my house to use the telephone. And he was putting together this business deal and finishing up these songs that later became the album Astral Weeks. Yeah.
Madam George. Cypress Avenue.
Young Lovers Do. Yeah. And I would come by, and he would just get so discouraged. And, you know, we would go out and start drinking, and you know, man, I couldn't tell you how many times we threw up on each other. But he would come to the radio show, and we'd just listen to records, Van and I, and several songs. I mean, I remember turning them on to, and I don't know if you have it queued up yet.
The Muddy?
Well, we have the Muddy. Muddy,
you know,
for sure.
You know what I want to play? I want to play something from Van. From Astral Weeks.
Okay.
Right? And it was one of the songs that you mentioned, The Way Young Lovers Do.
But this is Van. I have a recording. I can bring it down next time we get together that I did when Van first premiered these songs. It was a little coffee house with him on guitar, John Payne on, there was a bass player and a flautist, I guess one would say. And the thing with Van was he had this incredible vision of what he wanted to do, but there was no real place for him, and he was sort of very much the odd man out.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I, and later I introduced him with John Lee Hooker. Now Van talks in a very deep Belfast accent. Yeah, got you, gigs and the guys are going right. And then John Lee Hooker, who would talk, John would talk with Pete, you know, talking to Van, and two of these guys.
You needed subtitles for this conversation.
But I put a lunch together with two of these guys. And they're yakking away. I didn't understand a word either of them was saying. But this was the great Van Morrison.
We strolled through fields all wet with rain, and back along the lane again. There in the sunshine, in the sweet summertime, the way that young lovers do. I kissed you on the lips once more, and we said goodbye.
two tombstones full of wine balls and chain. I'm drinking TNT, I'm smoking down a mine. I hope some screwball start a fire. Cause I'm ready, ready as anybody can be. I am ready for you, I hope you're ready for me.
See, we're gonna have a conflict here. Uh-oh. Peter Wolf and I. Peter Wolf and I are gonna have a conflict, because Peter's brought up like all these wonderful records. I mean, he traveled down from Boston yesterday, and
pitched.
and thumbing in the fog, man, on the road to nowhere, like we were talking about earlier. And he's brought all these CDs with him that he wants to play tonight. Because Peter was a DJ, you know, way back when, and he loves to do that. And I'm all for that, except that I want to play a lot more of your album as well, you see. So we may have a conflict here.
Okay.
But I think so far we're managing to balance, you know. We're going back and forth. And we heard a track called Blind, Crippled, and Crazy. Now, that is a cover, right?
That was the one cover on the record, because people always would say to me, you know, Pete, with the Giles Band, things like, you know, Looking for a Love, Ain't Nothing But a House Party, and we always love your choice of covers. So this was originally done by a gentleman by the name of O.V. Wright, who was a great, recorded on the High, you know, the same label as Willie Mitchell and Al Green. And he was just, he came out of a gospel group, Highway Ice OCs or something, I can't quite remember, but it just had these great funky, funky songs, Nickel and a Nail, and just, I mean, people who love, if you love Otis Clay and any great soul music, Otis Redding, whatever, just go out and buy O.V. Wright.
Do you have that here?
Yeah, I do. I do.
All right, well, we heard Blind, Crippled, and Crazy. We heard Muddy Waters, I'm Ready in there.
Right.
We wound up the set with Little Walter and Hate to See You Go. Now, Little Walter and Muddy Waters are both playing on each other's recordings there?
Right.
Is that the case?
What happened was Little Walter was Muddy Waters' harmonica player. And then one day Little Walter recorded a song called Juke, that became a big hit, and Little Walter said, Muddy, bye, bye, bye. Uh-huh. He started his own career, and he's a great singer. He's one of my favorite singers of all time, Little Walter, and I love Little Walter. So that was Little Walter. Bo Diddley was playing. You had Robert Lockwood Jr., Willie Dixon, the great Otis Spann on piano, and the Muddy Waters Band in that era was probably the best. Only the best, and later for the garbage, as John Lee Hooker would say.
And we started off that set with Van Morrison from Astral Weeks, and it was during that period when Van was hanging with you on the radio in Boston that he was working out Astral Weeks,
right,
and writing those songs and performing those songs for the first time. The Way That Young Lovers Do, title of that track. We'll be right back with our visit with Peter Wolf here on WNEW-FM in New York after this.
The following ad wasn't tested for effectiveness. It wasn't tested in front of consumers in rooms with two-way mirrors. We don't even mention our name in the first 7 seconds. Oh, by the way, we're Dish Network, digital satellite TV. We didn't feel the need to test this ad because we're about to use a word you can't ignore. Free. I'll pause while you veer your car back onto the highway. Friesen, now you can get a complete Dish Network satellite system, including dish and receiver, for the low, low price of nothing, after rebate. You've probably heard the word free used in tandem with car wash or smoked cheese, but we're using it with a digital satellite TV system, with more channels and more movies. We realize this ad isn't entertaining, but we guarantee it'll get the job done. Call us at 1-888-399-DISH. Call 1-888-399-DISH and make this ad effective, impactful, and maybe even efficacious. Dish Network. More TV, less money.
See your local Sears or other fine retailers today. Free system after rebate. Promotion requires 1 year of programming services agreement. Cancellation penalties apply. Offer expires March 31st. All prices and packages subject to change without notice. Additional restrictions, sales tax, and $99 installation may apply. Void where prohibited.
Did you know that Pratt Institute, one of the country's premier colleges of art and design, has a continuing education program that offers hundreds of courses for artists and working professionals? Taking classes at Pratt's School of Professional Studies can advance your career and sharpen your skills in computer graphics, fine arts, portfolio development, AutoCAD, web design, and much more. There's also certificate programs in cutting-edge fields like interactive media, electronic publishing, computer animation, and computer-aided design. Beginning on January 25th, choose from a variety of courses that are conveniently scheduled during evening hours and on weekends to suit your busy lifestyle. You can take classes at either Pratt's Brooklyn campus or at its Manhattan campus, located at 295 Lafayette Street in Soho. To find out more about Pratt's spring semester continuing education offerings, call now. There's still time to register. Call 212-461-6040. That's 212-461-6040. Pratt. Or to design your new career.
When I have a headache, nobody feels it but me. But when I have dandruff, everybody knows. So I want to lose it fast. That's why I've got Denerex. Denerex has this express relief. It's so fast, I can actually feel it. In minutes, it relieves itching. And I know it's treating my dandruff flakes. So I can relax. I know people are looking at me, not my dandruff.
Denerex Express Relief. So fast you can feel it. Use only as directed.
So, Peter Wolf, I got the original of Blind, Crippled, and Crazy.
All right.
Queued up here. So how would the old Wolf of Goof of Mama Tufa introduce this recording?
Well, this is Wolf of Goof of Mama Tufa telling you, ah, baby, there you are sitting home all alone. Your baby's sitting on the easy chair, smoking yourself a nice cigarette, having a nice big cold beer, saying, oh, baby, I want you to come on over and give me some lip flock, Clayton. Don't get lazy or I'm going to get blind, crippled, and crazy.
I dig being Peter Wolf's engineer, man.
Well, we got all night.
Let me do mine. I'd rather be blind. sunshine tangled up in your hair, and it's pleasing to me. You look fine at me and you pull down the shade. Don't give a damn about the plans that we made. I've got a feeling that we'll be here all day, and it's pleasing to me. Pleasing to me.
That's another fine new song from Peter Wolf here on WNEW-FM. See, every once in a while I get to do a segue.
Well, we're still racing down the trestles, but that blood had never burned in her veins. Now here she's got a house up in Fairview, in a style she's trying to maintain.
Hey, Peter. What's that rhythm? Because that rhythm, that's a little slower than the rhythm in your song, in that song called Pleasing to Me. But there's a similar rhythm. It's sort of like a, it's almost like a modified stroll, isn't it?
Well, you can call it a stroll. I call it a pleasing to me rhythm, but slower.
Uh-huh. Let's see. See, here's the stroll.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. It's the only dance I know how to do. I
can call. Let me see. Yeah. Come on, let's see.
But I don't.
Vince?
But I have to have some alcohol in my system in order to do
it. Well, we can arrange that too.
I know.
Now, for people who don't know, you have to describe the stroll. The stroll is two people. My sister was a great stroll dancer. You'd have two lines, and two people would stand. There would be two lines that would face each other, and ladies on one side and the guys on the other. And once you got to the end of the line, you'd look over at your lady, and you and she would go down the aisle, which was created by these two long lines, and you would go down in rhythm, and you would do certain steps until you got to the end of the aisle, and then the next people up would stroll on down.
And you just keep up moving on up the aisle, you know? Yes. And the drunker you got, of course, the more absurd the steps became, you know? It didn't matter what steps you did after a while. I like the stroll. The diamonds?
The diamonds did the big popular.
Yeah, that's this one, yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, go on strolling.
Hey, who's that lady singing with you on that track?
Asa Dyer.
Tell me about her.
And she used to sing with Motown, and Kenny White, who produced the record with me, he knew her. And we were trying to think of someone like Mavis Staples, and one day she walked in and we went yama gama guma. And we just did it together. It was basically a quick take, and she just got in there and just started pleasing to me, and it was one of those decisive moments. I have to say also that one of the people that really helped make this record special for me was a gentleman by the name of Rob Eaton, who is the engineer. A lot of times engineers go unheralded, but a lot of the warmth that was created on this record is his talents. So I have to throw his name out there on the airwaves, 50,000 up and 50,000 down.
The record that we're talking about is called Fool's Parade.
Yeah, it's, and the biggest fool of all is right here.
the recently released Peter Wolf album, such a fine recording.
Thank you.
And a recording that in a different world, in a different time, in a different radio climate, and in a different music climate would be being played constantly on radio stations all around the country. You know, it's just, the more I listen to this album, the more classic it becomes for me, and the more deeply embedded it becomes, you know, in my heart and in my gut, in the way that, well, that some of the Jay Giles Band records certainly did back in the 70s. What I'm getting to here is that the climate is different. We don't have the same kind of receptive ears necessarily in broadcasting anymore for this kind of music. Everything's so uptight. Everything is so playlisted. Everything is so demographically controlled. And even when you do manage to break through, you can't break through on a large scale. It's like become a singles world again, you know, and you get your one-hit wonder bands, and they get their single on the radio, and that's about it. And nobody bothers with anything else on the album. Generally, it's because, for one reason, there isn't all that much more on the album. This album, Fool's Parade, Peter Wolf, is a consistently fine and strong recording in the way that people used to make consistently fine and strong recordings years ago. 11 tracks on the album, so it's not like there's like 22 tracks. Like a lot of bands will put everything on an album, you know, and you can't find the good stuff because there's so much mediocre stuff on the recording. You get somebody who spends time and makes an old-fashioned 11-song album, you got to know that that this album is going to be full of the real deal, and I congratulate you for it. And I wish
I wish that
there was a better climate in radio right now for this record.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, you just got to go with your gut and do what you do. I remember, you know, one of the things when I first started on FM with BCN. We were trying to sort of get away from that AM monster. And then a lot of what's music that's going on in FM has sort of become that for many people. And so you just have to prevail. I remember when I first started working on BCN, which was then getting into, you know, all rock and roll, and new things were coming out, and Jeff Beck and Led Zeppelin was starting out. And I was still bringing my Muddy Waters records, and I was sort of the odd man out up there. Mm-hmm. But they were taking these records, Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra and all these great old disc jockeys that were coming from another era, and kind of sweeping them under. So there's always constant change. So I just think that the music prevails, and I'm trying to just sort of, you know, grow as a musician. And this, as I say, is probably my most satisfying record for myself to make that I made.
There's a note. There's a website. There's a Peter Wolf website. It's peterwolf.com. I guess it's a com, right? It's a .com?
Peterwolf.com.
There's a lot of wonderful information up there and pictures. And in a rather lengthy bio, it mentions the fact that, I'm going to take you back a whole bunch of years now. You were living in New York, listening to the radio, listening to WBAI, although it doesn't say WBAI in the bio. But you hear a radio show on which a woman is interviewed.